This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. 7:36 a.m. Monday the 27th of July, which means that in about half an hour we're going to be having the breakfast grill where, Roshan, you'll be speaking with Lim Ming Chang, CEO of LKL International Berhad.
Yes, so medical and healthcare stocks have gotten quite a lot of attention recently. And outside the rubber glove players, I think few can boast stock returns that medical bed manufacturer LKL has seen this year. The stock is up about six times since about end of March on the back of a boom in sales during the last quarter revenue, which was really quite good, the fourth quarter revenue there. But my question will be here is, how sustainable is that revenue really in the longer term?
All right. And if you want to find out the answer to that question, tune in later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin for the breakfast grill. But right now we are turning our attention to the U.S. because despite assurances from the Trump administration that better times are on the horizon for Americans, there is a growing body of evidence indicating the exact opposite.
Yeah, some key points from government and private reports include credit card spending remaining unchanged at about 12% below year on year levels. Also, a very widely watched measure of consumer sentiment turned more pessimistic in July. I think consumer spending accounts for about 70% of the economy. It's really propping up the economy, just like in Malaysia. And also, U.S. employment dropped 4.1 million from the first week to the second week of July. Jobless claims rose to 1.42 million.
So with America's rebound from the pandemic seem to be stalling just days before the federal aid is set to expire, one thing's now crystal clear. Until a vaccine or effective treatment for COVID-19 is found, the world's largest economy will at best post tepid, uneven growth, and at worst even endure an extended period of malaise or even a depression. So for a deeper look into this, we have on the line with us Oren Klatchkin, lead economist at Oxford Economics, an independent global advisory firm who conducted a report on recovery in the US. Oren, thank you for joining us. Now, the study you conducted points to a premature plateauing of the recovery in the US. So what are some of the key aspects that have dragged down the recovery?
So there are several reasons why the tracker has not continued to move higher. The first one, as you can probably imagine, is the worsening and worsening health situation here, where the number of new cases is rising by the day. And in fact, it is actually the highest now since it's been several weeks. And so this kind of new phase of ongoing health shock is weighing on the health component of our index. The second component is a deterioration in several factors related to business activity and consumer spending. So the numbers that we have indicate that consumers are going out and spending less money at restaurants, at hotels, and several other points of sale for which we have numbers for as well. And additionally, firms are also becoming more and more uncertain about the economic environment and are in turn choosing to not spend as much as well. The other component, the final component, is that the jobs indicator has basically not changed for the past 2 weeks or so. And that is a reflection of the fall in initial jobless claims and the fall in basically people looking for unemployment insurance online that has been offset by businesses posting less job openings online. So those two changes basically offset each other. And those are the reasons why the national tracker has not changed too much.
The U.S. government has released several rounds of COVID-19 stimulus packages previously. Did it have a significant impact on the recovery so far?
We believe that certainly the assistance so far has definitely helped to avoid an even sharper downturn in economic activity that would have definitely otherwise happened. The two main examples of this are the payment protection loans that were given out that basically allowed businesses to retain people on the job and could allow them to avoid having to let them go. The second main example of this is the $600 a week checks that people have been getting since this health shock started, which is on top of the weekly benefit that you get when you apply for unemployment insurance. So these two new policy, you know, things have definitely allowed the shock to be less severe than would have otherwise been the case. The other component is the Fed's actions to offset the shock. So the monetary measures that the Fed put in place helped to instill investor confidence and turn around financial indicators and allowed the investment metrics to come back. And so these two measures overall allowed the shock to be not as severe as it would have been. We do expect additional round of fiscal support, though we do not believe that it will be as large as what we've seen so far. So the support given to the economy will not be as large as what we've had so far going forward.
So the question then is, how fast could recovery happen in view of the lack of leadership in managing COVID-19, particularly higher jobless claims and escalating U.S.-China tensions?
So I think this is the question that we're all, you know, hoping to answer, and it remains very unclear regarding how that is going to happen. In the best case scenario, we would think that the recovery is going to evolve at a much slower pace compared to what we've seen so far. And this again ties back to the worsening situation that we are currently facing. And because the health situation is getting worse, there is, we believe, a very large risk that we're going to re-enter a renewed slump as people become more uncertain about the virus and they don't go out and spend money and, you know, firms don't want to go out and hire people and so on and so forth. There is a very significant risk that we're going to enter a new slump.
And breaking this down further, according to states, which are recovering most and least?
So in the initial phases of the shock, the southern states and the western states were the ones that basically had the least severe impacts, right? And this was because the number of cases was relatively low and people in general were not as, I guess you could say, concerned about the virus. However, that has definitely changed, where the number of cases has risen at a very, very fast pace, basically the past 2 to 3 weeks in states in the South and West, think Georgia, Florida, and so on and so forth. And that is leading these places to see their economic recoveries lose a lot of pace compared to how they were going so far. The other development is that the states that were more severely impacted by this crisis at the onset, they basically are still on the comeback from the worst of the shock, though they're definitely losing pace compared to the gains that they saw in recent weeks. And this goes back to another key point of mine, which is that you cannot ensure that the economy is on a solid track until the health situation has, until we found some kind of way to cap at least the health situation that we are in.
Oren, do you see any trends on recovery indicators between different states?
So I would say I would make two main points on this. The first one is that the states that acted, you know, faster and implemented more severe measures to limit the spread of the virus across the region are the ones that for sure suffered the most at the start, but are now able to ensure that their economies maintain a somewhat stronger pace of comeback compared to states that didn't take the risks so seriously at the start. The second main element that I've seen is that the comeback in the economy is happening at a faster pace than jobs. So basically what this is showing us is that firms are going to try to do more, but with less people. And so this, you know, is a risk that basically overall jobs are not going to come back as fast, and that we're going to take even longer to return to the way that the jobs situation was, you know, back before the virus hit compared to what's going to happen otherwise.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Oren. That was Oren Klatchkin, lead economist at Oxford Economics, basically illustrating the fact that, you know, although we've talked about the fact that the public health and economy appear to be a bit of a trade-off when it comes to COVID-19, in the US, the economy cannot recover until the public health situation there at least recovers somewhat. But right now, we're going to be heading into some messages, and then up next, we're speaking with Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, to discuss East Malaysian politics. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.